Good morning, church. It's my privilege to be able to read the Bible with you this morning. And we are looking at Leviticus 17, which is on page 93 of the church Bibles, if you have one of those. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the Israelites and say to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Any Israelite who sacrifices an ox, a lamb or a goat, in the camp or outside of it, instead of bringing it to the entrance to the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to the Lord in front of the tabernacle of the Lord, that person shall be considered guilty of bloodshed. They have shed blood and must be cut off from their people. This is so the Israelites will bring to the Lord the sacrifices they are now making in the open fields. They must bring them to the priest, that is to the Lord, at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and sacrifice them as fellowship offerings. The priest is to splash the blood against the altar of the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting and burn the fat as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. They must no longer offer any of their sacrifices to the goat idols to whom they prostitute themselves. This is to be a lasting ordinance for them and for the generations to come. Say to them, any Israelite or any foreigner residing among them who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the entrance to the tent of meeting to sacrifice it to the Lord must be cut off from the people of Israel. I will set my face against any Israelite or any foreigner residing among them who eats blood, and I will cut them off from the people, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Therefore, I say to the Israelites, none of you may eat blood, nor may any foreigner residing among you eat blood. Any Israelite or any foreigner residing among you who hunts any animal or bird that may be eaten must drain out the blood and cover it with earth, because the life of every creature is its blood. That is why I have said to the Israelites, you must not eat the blood of any creature, because the life of every creature is its blood. Anyone who eats it must be cut off. Anyone, whether native, born or foreigner, who eats anything found dead or torn by wild animals, must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be ceremonially unclean till evening. Then they will be clean. But if they do not wash their clothes and bathe themselves, they will be held responsible."
Good morning, everyone. My name is Scott. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church, Parry Hills. Great to be with you this morning. And what a Bible reading for Mother's Day, huh? I had two kids. One of them gave an answer before about why Mummy is special. The other one had an answer. When we were talking about this at home, she didn't say it today, but she said to me at home, "I love Mum. I'm really thankful because, well, she can cook lots and lots of things, Dad," implying that you kind of can't. It's also true. And my mum is a special woman. There's a picture of our family just taken yesterday. You can tell, obviously, my hair is still intact, right? No, that's quite an old photo. My mum's on the far side over there. She's a special woman. There's lots of things I'm grateful for about my mum, but one of the things is her patience. You see, as you can tell there, I'm one of three kids. I'm the middle kid. I haven't got any lasting scars from it, I swear. But one of the things that's probably common between my dad and my brother and my sister and maybe me, probably me, but the four of us, we can all be a little bit stubborn, probably more than just a bit stubborn. We don't mind digging our heels in when we want to. And so Mum has often acted as the circuit breaker in our family, the patient one, the one that's helped us kind of stick together in the midst of people butting heads. So I reckon Mother's Day is a fantastic idea because mums are special, aren't they? In so many ways, it's right for us to treat them well all the time. It's right for us to have a particular day where we remember how our mums and how thankful we are for them. Of course, and Jake mentioned this before, of course there are reasons why some people find today a difficult day. Perhaps we've got a tough relationship with our mum, tough relationship with our kids. Perhaps our mum isn't around anymore. Perhaps we'd like to be a mum, but we're not And look, if today is a tricky day for you, I just wanted to say, well done on making it out here today. We're glad that you're here with us. And I do hope that the warmth of friendship that we'll share here afterwards will be of some comfort to you today. But mums are special, and often the reason why we can find Mother's Day a tricky day is because mums are special, right? It's tricky because we miss our mum, or we'd really love to be a mum, there's lots of reasons why mums are special and why it's tricky when things don't work out right. But it's not surprising for you, especially today, it's not surprising for you to hear me say that mums are special. But there was something in the Bible passage that Meredith just read for us. Something that the Bible said was special, and it wasn't mums. And it feels kind of weird to be up here saying this, but it said that the special thing is blood. Doesn't that sound a bit odd to you? I mean, we all know that blood's important, right? We need it to pump around our bodies for our bodies to work. But why is the Bible talking about blood? What is it about blood that's so special? And why spend a Mother's Day on this topic? That's what I hope for us to cover today. And maybe by the end you'll tell me, okay, I get it now. Let me start, though, with a bit of background in Leviticus. We've been going through Leviticus here at church. Leviticus is part of the Old Testament. That's part of the Bible that comes before Jesus. Now, in what's just happened is that God has rescued the Israelites. They had been slaves in Egypt. God rescued them out of Egypt, brought them out, and now they're kind of camping in the middle of nowhere, essentially. If you look at a world map, they're kind of in that part where the red circle is there. Modern day, that's still called Egypt, but back in this time, this was not a place where Egypt had control over. It's a place that is very wild, barren. It's the wilderness. God is there with the people, and they've kind of made a pact, what the Bible calls a covenant, together. God has promised, I'm going to be your God, and the people have said to God, we're going to be your people. So God has come to live with these people, the Israelites, which actually is kind of dangerous for them. Because the God of the Bible is a holy God, and the Israelites, well, they're not quite worthy to have God among them. And so Leviticus is written to tell the people how to live with this holy God as their neighbor so they don't get consumed by his holiness. And so we get to chapter 17 of Leviticus today, and we hear this strange thing where it says blood is special. Blood is significant. It is important. In fact, if you've got a Bible open there, or if you don't, just feel free to listen on. But in verse 10, this is what God says. He says, I will set my face against any Israelite or any foreigner residing among them who eats blood, and I will cut them off from my people. Or again, it's a couple of verses later, verse 12, God says, therefore I say to the Israelites, none of you may eat blood, nor may a foreigner residing among you eat blood. Blood is a special thing, so you don't eat it, which is like a shorthand of way of saying you don't eat meat with blood in it. Right? You don't eat meat with blood in it. That's what it's talking about. It says don't eat blood. But this is really important because if the Israelites did this, or if any kind of foreigner was living among the Israelites and they did this, God says they've got to be cut off. That is, they've got to be sent into exile, made into a non-citizen, sent away with no hope of return. See, God is saying blood is serious business. Do not eat meat with the blood in it. And then, in fact, most of the chapter, it talks about then how do you get your meat the right way to make sure you don't eat meat with the blood in it. Blood is special, so make sure you prepare your dinner in the proper way. And throughout the chapter, I just want to go over this briefly, but there are three kind of ways to getting food that are mentioned here. Three ways. You could get your meat for your dinner by slaughtering your livestock. That's verses 1 to 9. It's an ox or a goat or a lamb or something like this. And I'm going to summarize a lot here, but the big idea is you don't slaughter your livestock anywhere. And the only place, there's only one place the Israelites were to do this. And in verse 5 it says, they must bring them, the livestock, to the priest, that is to the Lord, at the entrance to the tent of meeting and sacrifice them as fellowship offerings. The tent of meeting is the kind of place where God especially lived with his people. It's God's tent amongst the rest of the tents of the Israelites as they're camping out. That's where the people have to come to slaughter their livestock. And they're to do this as a fellowship offering. Now, if you were with us last year, we went through the first half of Leviticus. And in chapter 3, we talked about the fellowship offering. And it meant that if you bought a fellowship offering, it meant that, you were looking after the priests. They got a little bit to eat for themselves. You honored God, so some of the fat was burned up to God. And you got your own dinner. You got the lion's share of the meal was yours. But also in verse 7 here, we find out that it means the people are not going to sacrifice their animals to goat idols. It stops the people from idolatry. But most importantly here, I think, is that what verse 6 says, that the priest does the right thing with the blood. He splashes it against the altar. This is important because blood is special. It's important to do the right thing with it. A little bit further on, we find another way of getting your meat for dinner. An Israelite could go hunting. And God says, if you go hunting, it still matters what you do with blood. So imagine you're out hunting and you kind of want to get an animal. You can't just catch it, really, and bring it to the tent of meeting and sacrifice it there. You're going to kill it. You're hunting there. So God says what you do then is you still need to drain the blood out. Verse 13, any Israelite or foreigner residing among you who hunts any animal or bird that may be eaten must drain out the blood and cover it with earth. Again, we see it's important what the Israelites did with blood because blood is special. And then there's a final way they could have got meat for their dinner. What happens when you come across a dead animal and you're scavenging or gathering things and you come across a dead animal? You can't drain the blood out of it already, right? Because it's already dead. But verse 15 and 16 tells you, you can still eat it. However, it will make you ritually unclean, ceremonially unclean. And so God tells the Israelites, you go through this process to become clean again. Wash your clothes, bathe yourself, wait until evening. You'll be considered clean again in that process. And I just want to point out one thing from this. This really shows God's care and concern for those who are poor. So imagine that's you. You're a poor family. And let's say, for example, all you own is maybe a goat or two. And one morning, imagine you wake up and one of your goats has been killed by a wild animal overnight. I mean, that's a huge loss for your family already. But it's an even bigger loss if you can't eat any of the meat of your dead goat. This might not matter for a family who's rich because they've got plenty of others. But for the poor, this would be a devastating loss. So what God says here, it's a very kind provision. Without this, the poor person is left with nothing. But here, this command is God looking out for them. And I wanted to say this, just this, it's a quick aside, but I wanted to say this because I think it shows us God's heart. Even here, we see his gentleness, his care for those who are more vulnerable than the rest. This is a good God, the Bible reveals to us, friends. All right, so that's kind of what I want to do, just walk through the chapter. You see, there's lots of different ways then to get your meat for dinner, but all these regulations have got to do with making sure you treat the blood properly. Blood is special, says God. That's why you've got all these regulations around what to do. But of course, if I just sat down now, I really haven't touched on the burning question we've got, right? Which is why? Why is blood so special? Why does God make so much of this? Why all these commands to treat blood as if it's special? Well, come with me, if you've got your Bible open there, look at verse 11. This is a key verse, so if you haven't, just feel free to listen along. God has just told the Israelites, don't eat meat with blood in it. And then verse 11 gives us two reasons why. It's Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Did you catch the two reasons there? The first was this, that the life of a creature is in its blood. God does not want you to just go wantonly shedding blood of creatures for no reason. The life of a creature is in its blood. And I mean, that's fairly obvious to us, right? Like if a creature doesn't have blood in it, there's no life. They need blood to live. The life is in the blood. So actually, which is helpful. Notice then that blood is not actually a symbol of dying. Blood in the Bible is a symbol of life. A few years ago, maybe you knew this, the Red Cross changed the name of one of their services. You know where people go and they donate their blood and then it gets given to those who need it, right? It used to be called, people commonly call it the Blood Bank, or it was officially called the Red Cross Blood Service. They rebranded in 2019 and now it's called Lifeblood. This new name is really fitting, right? Because it says what the organization does. That's what they do. They take blood from donors and it sustains the life of people who need it. It's life-giving blood. Here in the Bible, God is saying something similar. Blood is precious. It's special. It gives life. The life of a creature is in its blood, which also takes us partly to the second reason why blood is special. Is because God has given the lifeblood of some animals to make atonement. That's what it says, doesn't it? In verse 11, it's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. See, blood is God's gracious provision so that people can be atoned, so people can be reconciled, so people can be at one with God again. Because this was a problem for the Israelites. They had promised to be God's people. They had made a pact, a covenant with God. But again and again, if you read the story of the Bible, they break their promises. They betray their God. This is the story of the Israelites before Leviticus. What did they do? Well, they made an idol and they said, "This is the Lord God who rescued us." And they complained about God and they wanted to go back to being slaves in Egypt. They grumbled about God and the leaders God had given them. And even as we read today, some of them are worshipping goat idols and sacrificing to goat idols. This is the kind of thing that the holy God of the Bible will not put up with. But God has graciously given his people a way back. Earlier in Leviticus, in the first 6 or 7 chapters, it talks about a lot of sacrifices that people can make so their sin can be atoned for. The blood of an animal is poured out. Its life is given. And this means that the betrayal of the Israelites is atoned for. Their life doesn't end. The blood of the animal's life is given for them. That's why blood is so precious. God tells the Israelites, blood is special. It's not to be misused. It's not to be misplaced. It's not to be mistreated. Because without blood, there's no atonement. Without blood, an Israelite cannot be made right with God again. My wife, Pip, Pip and I, we like to watch a show called Alone. It's a reality TV, but it's the good type of reality TV, okay? Not Married at First Sight. In this one, 10 people get dropped off at 10 really remote locations, and they've got to see how long they can survive for on their own, and whoever goes the longest wins. It's a fascinating show. Obviously, it's all about survival. And so you get a bunch of survivalists that come in that have all these skills of hunting and building. And anyway, it's quite amazing. But there's a saying I've heard now amongst survivalists. They say you can survive 3 minutes without air, although I don't want to try that one. They say you can survive 3 days without water. Again, not sure if I'd like to try that. And they say you can survive 3 weeks without food, which seems like a long time without a meal, right? But in Alone, actually, they often go for quite a while without any food. But we need these three things to survive, like air, water, food. 3 minutes, 3 days, 3 weeks. I don't think I can put a three number on it, but God is saying here to the Israelites, you need something else to survive. You need blood, the lifeblood of the animal. That's why I've given it to you, to make atonement. You need it to survive. And this is why blood is so precious, so special. This is why blood needed to be used properly by the Israelites. Now, that's what God said to the Israelites in the Old Testament. But we're not them, are we? God hasn't just rescued any of us from being slaves in Egypt, not that I know of, at least. None of us are camping out in that part of the Middle East. That is, we're not Old Testament Israelites living in 1450 BC. Right now, we're in Australia in 2026 AD. So what does any of this mean for us today? There are lots of differences between us and the Israelites, but can I suggest one thing that is actually very similar between us and them? We share one very important thing, and that is that, like the Israelites, sadly, we too so often betray the God who made us. Isn't it true that in life we would love God to bless us and give us good things? And yet when he calls us to do things, when he calls us to follow him, often we just don't want to. We'd rather have God's good gifts to us, but isn't it true that so often we just want to live the way that we want to live, not the way he tells us to live? That is, we're the same as the Israelites in that we don't really honour our God, which means we're the same as the Israelites in that we need blood to make atonement for us. But here's the key difference. We don't need the lifeblood of an animal sacrificed once and then again and then again and until we keep going. Because God has given us today now something far better than that. God has given us the lifeblood of the Lord Jesus so that we can turn to Jesus who gave his life for us, who shed his blood for us, his lifeblood, so that we can live through him. And if we're honest, I reckon we can hear that kind of stuff today and just, pardon me, we can just yawn. Because, haven't you heard that before? They said, this is not new stuff. Oh, we already know this. It's old news, isn't it? Even if we're keen, committed believers, it can be so easy to switch off to this. We hear this kind of thing all the time, don't we? Yeah, Jesus died, we can be forgiven. We hear it all the time and we become so used to it that I think this truth doesn't grip our hearts like it ought to. I worry that is true for me far too often than I'd ever like to admit. I'm not worried about us, you know, misusing or misplacing the blood of Jesus. I'm worried about us missing out on how precious the blood of Jesus ought to be for our everyday life. So today I just wanted to draw our hearts back to Jesus. Let's take a moment now to consider what the blood of Jesus has actually done. What does the Bible say the blood of Jesus has, how does the Bible say the blood of Jesus has made a difference for you and for me? Well, let me ask this question. How is it that a holy God would forgive any of your sin, let alone the deepest, darkest secrets that you don't want anyone else to know about? And how does God do that, not just for, you know, a couple of us who are, you know, pretty good most of the time, but how does God do that for many of us? Matthew 26 tells us that it is only by Jesus pouring out his blood for us. How is it that my sin does not stain me for eternity? How is it that I can be purified of my sin? 1 John chapter 1, it is only by the blood of Jesus. When I know I've mucked up, when I know I've done the wrong thing, how is my conscience cleansed? How is the guilt removed? Hebrews 9. Only by the blood of Jesus. How is it that we who know that we have messed up before God, how is it that we could stand before God and have God say anything but "you're guilty" to us? Romans chapter 5, we are justified. God says not guilty over us, only by the blood of Jesus. How is it that people from every tribe and nation, language, people from all over the world can be ransomed, purchased by God so that they now belong to God to be his people? Revelation chapter 5, that's only because of the lifeblood of Jesus. How can it be that I'm sanctified, that I'm so changed in my position before God that he sees me and he calls me holy, me, holy? Hebrews 13, it is only by the blood of Jesus. How can anybody have victory over Satan and over all the schemes that he wants to bring into our lives to mess things up, to drag us away from the Lord? How can we have victory against Satan and the schemes he plots against us? Revelation chapter 12, it is by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus alone. Or how is it that those who were far off, those who are far off, can be brought near to God? Ephesians chapter 2, it's by the blood of Jesus. Friends, how can you or I have confidence to step before God, to come into his most holy place and get anything but smited by him? It is not by anything that you or I bring to the table. But Hebrews chapter 10 tells us it is only by the blood of Jesus that opens up a way for us to be back with our God again. And how is it that our eternal redemption is so secure that we can have confidence that it will be not lost or stolen or taken from us or anything like that? How can we have confidence? Hebrews chapter 9. It's only by Jesus giving his lifeblood that we might have eternal life. Friends, I wanted to encourage and urge us today, let us never let our hearts grow cold to the blood of Jesus. Let us never let our hearts grow cold to this precious truth that Jesus' lifeblood given for us is the only way that we can have atonement We can be at one again with our holy God. Can you see, friends, why blood is so special? In many ways, my mum, I think she's the key to holding our family together. And the stubbornness of the four other people in our family, put in the right circumstances, could tear us apart. I'm grateful that hasn't happened, and I'm confident one of the ways that God has made sure that hasn't happened is by giving us a special mum who's patient and kind, who holds us together. I love my mum, and I am so grateful to God for her. But the blood of Jesus is something more special. That's why I wanted to come here on Mother's Day. The blood of Jesus is something so special, because it brings atonement. It brings peace with our God who made us. Nothing could be more precious than that, could it? Now, often we might open the Bible and we look at the Bible and we ask, well, what does this part of the Bible tell me I need to do now? What is this part telling me I need to, how do I need to change my actions or change my life? Today, though, friends, I want to say, today we don't do anything. Today what we do is delight in something. Today, I hope that my prayer has been that we'd learn to delight in Jesus, our precious Lord, who gave his precious lifeblood that we might have life through him. The precious Lord who pours out his lifeblood for you. Why don't I pray for us? Let me pray. Our loving Lord and God in heaven, we thank you that you have given blood for a special purpose, a special reason. The life of our Lord was in his blood, and yet he poured out his life for us to make atonement. We praise you for what Jesus has done then, and ask, Lord, that you would change us and shape us so that our hearts hold on to this precious truth and do not grow cold to it. Please enliven us, great Father, with this wonderful truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.